Here are two new ways to stay connected to issues, etc. Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
This year, I will work with Congress and our military to finally repeal the law that denies gay Americans the right to serve the country they love because of who they are. It's the right thing to do.
I'm against partial birth abortions. I'm against federal funding of abortions. And I believe in a strong parental consent notification law.
Just still pro-choice.
Yes.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Scott Roeder, guilty of the crime of first-degree murder.
The court has determined that the 12 jurors deliberating have reached a unanimous verdict. I will accept your verdict in order that it be filed of record.
We were hoping to help Haitian children who may be the victims of the slave trade, to help rescue them out of that scenario and to give them some hope and a future.
We always do this, don't we? Whenever anything big happens in the world, something that we consider to be history-making. It's no different with something like the earthquake in Haiti recently. Where were you when you heard about it? I don't quite remember where I was. Maybe the biggest question people are asking nowadays is, where was God when that earthquake struck? And why would he permit something that, knowing in advance, since he is God, he has to know in advance, would cause so much human carnage, so much damage, so much trouble, so much heartache, so much mourning for so many people? Why would he permit this to happen? Or did he cause it, as some would like to think? Or maybe he just was asleep at the switch and found out like I did, read about it on the internet. Where was God in Haiti? We're going to answer that question here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. this Tuesday afternoon, February the 2nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at Issues ETC. Pastor Bruce Kazeman joins us for the first half hour. In the second half hour, we'll talk about gays in the military and the real prospect of overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell. No one thought it was a great idea when it was implemented. Few think it's a good idea, but what do you do? And then we have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff saying, look, it's just a policy that requires men and women in our military to lie. And that's not a good policy in principle. We'll talk with Tommy Sears, executive director of the Center for Military Readiness based in Washington, D.C. in the second half hour. A little bit later, Catherine Jean Lopez will join us from National Review Online. We're going to talk about an online game show called Bump. It's a pseudo-reality show about abortion. The audience gets to vote whether or not the actresses, not real people, but actresses, decide to or not to have an abortion. We'll see what she thinks about that. Dr. Arthur Just will join us in hour two of the program. The church remembers on this day, February the 2nd, the purification of Mary, the mother of our Lord, and the presentation of Jesus. Then Greg Kokel will answer the question, does Exodus 21, verse 22, about two men in a scuffle, a woman who is pregnant, gives birth, can't really tell what happens, the baby comes out, and one of them has to pay a fine, does that mean the baby doesn't matter and is not worthy of protection in the Old Testament? We'll see what Greg has to say about that later in the program. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Pastor Bruce Kazeman is pastor of Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois. He's author of an article titled, Where Was God? Bruce, welcome back.
Thanks. Always good to be with you.
So where was God recently for the earthquake in Haiti?
It was right where we need him to be, but maybe not exactly where we would expect him to be or the way, working in the way we think he should work, but he was right where we need him to be, and that means he was reigning in heaven, working for good in ways we can't possibly see. It means he was also right here on earth with his people, in the midst of suffering, as he always is, and that he was preparing a place for us, making sure that his people get to that heaven that that he intends us to be at.
Many people take the opportunity of something like the earthquake in Haiti, where you cannot blame a human agency, you can't blame a government or a policy or any of those kind of things. This is, by definition, a natural disaster. Many will point at that and say, either there is no God, or the God that you Christians worship isn't as good as you say he is. How do we respond to the first one? There is no God, proof positive, these kind of things happen. Good gods don't let this happen. Can't be, if your God is good, he can't be.
Yeah, this is, it reminds me of a letter to the editor I saw last week in the Belleville News Democrat, which is kind of a local paper for us. And the resident atheist, outspoken resident atheist, wrote in and said, well, the make-believe G-man, that's what he always calls God when he writes letters to the editor, well, the make-believe G-man sits on his hands while Haiti lies devastated. It begs this question: if a creator has the power to create the universe, why would he, she, or it allow tragedies like this to happen? Either the G-man does not exist, or if he does, he's nothing more than a cruel psychopath who toys with all living creatures. And what this guy is assuming is what so many of us assume, that God works the way we would work if we were him. And it misses the point that the God of grace is also a God who knows far more than we do, who can see the big picture and who accomplishes great things in ways that, sometimes to us at first don't seem good at all. So why does God allow something like this? Because he's going to work something good out of it. And that just... And we look at it and we say, I don't see anything good here. But God knows how he's going to do his work.
Okay, people look at the situation in Haiti. They say it was bad enough before. These people living in abject poverty, a government that barely could be called one, gangs of all kinds basically ruling the streets of that backward little Caribbean country. And then this, and... they just say, they didn't deserve this. The Haitians didn't deserve this. They had it bad enough to begin with. Did the Haitians deserve this?
Not only did the Haitians deserve this, but we deserve this. We are sinners. Now, what I can't necessarily answer why it is that God allowed the earthquake to destroy Haiti instead of allowing it to hit the New Madrid Fault, which is near enough to where you and I live, that that it could destroy our homes and our livelihoods. But to say that humankind does not deserve natural disasters is to forget that we're sinners, that God created a world that's perfect, not a world that was messed up, that our sin is what has destroyed the order that God placed in this world and has caused things like natural disasters. So then the reverse side of it is, so what's God doing? Well, he ends up using the things that we've caused by our sin for our good. He's working in ways we couldn't possibly see. And maybe we start by saying, you know what? Where was God on Good Friday when his son was hanging on a cross, suffering for you and for the people of Haiti? And the answer is, God was reigning on his throne, and he was using that for good in ways we couldn't possibly see. Could God have prevented all the destruction and the suffering there in Haiti? Some people say, no, he doesn't have the power to do that. The Bible says, yes, he does. And our question is, why didn't he? Answer, God in his wisdom and yeah, God in his grace and mercy, even if it doesn't at this point appear like grace and mercy, knows how he's going to use that earthquake to accomplish good. And so the question for us is, that we ought to all be asking is, maybe we should look at that earthquake in Haiti and go, man, do I have a gracious God. He is He has prevented the suffering that should have happened to me. And it strikes me that there's Haitians who have seen that, who see that God is gracious in the midst of all this. I saw a lady who had just had her leg amputated, and her response was, "Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus." She saw the graciousness of God in not allowing something far, far worse, as horrendous as this is. Then let's look back at that cross and go, if I'm standing at the foot of the cross, I'm going, there is no possible way God can be using this to accomplish anything good in this world. What is he doing, allowing his own son to die on a cross? Well, we got the 2020 hindsight that says God knew exactly what he was doing. He was using that death for good in ways we couldn't possibly see, for your salvation and my salvation and the salvation of a whole lot of people there in Haiti. Same thing's happening with the earthquake in Haiti, and I would say with every natural disaster that happens or anything horrendous that God allows to happen in our life. God carries out his plan. He uses it for good. It's what Romans 8 says. All things work together for those who are called according to his purpose.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Pastor Bruce Kaseman about where God was in Haiti, where he is now in the midst of a suffering that is, well, by all accounts, compounding. We talked yesterday with Pastor Matt Harrison, who was in one of the cities in Haiti, and he said it's terrible. This is a man acquainted with disaster and being on the scene after disasters. He says this is bad. It's terrible. The Haitians are, in so many ways, on their own. Where is God now for the Haitians and for us? We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, the 2nd of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. What kind of questions or comments do you have on the subject of where God was in Haiti and where he is now in the midst of the ongoing suffering there? Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, Twitter us at issuesetc, or just give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Pastor Bruce Kaseman's written an article titled, Where Was God? You can read it at issuesetc.org. Bruce, where is God now? I mean, it's easy to think of this in the abstract, isolating it to those hours of the earthquake and its immediate aftermath, and say, okay, we can locate and pin down kind of the whole theodicy right there. But now, for all of us, where is God to be found for us?
He is he's right here with his people. He is right here with his people in his word, in his sacraments, in his care for us. We don't yet know how God is using this for good. We may not understand till we get to heaven how it is that he's using this for good, but he does. He said, and once again, we go, I mean, everything gets anchored in the cross. When we ask the question, what's God doing with this? Well, he's working for good in ways we can't see. Proof? Look at the cross. Where's God? With his people. Proof? Look at the cross. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not also graciously, along with him, graciously give us all things? This is the God who took care of our greatest need by giving up what is dearest to him, his own son. There's no doubt he's going to take care of all of our other needs as well. This is a God who knows what we're going through, because he is not a God who has spent all eternity hanging out in heaven. This is the God who, in the person of Christ Jesus, came right down here to earth and suffered. And as horrible as the suffering that the Haitians are going through right now, what our Lord Jesus suffered for us, the carnage of the cross, is it's even a greater suffering. So he understands what the people of Haiti are going through. He understands what we're going through whenever we go through tragedy. He's been the homeless, the hungry, the mourning, the dying person, which is why he has the heart to help as well as the power to help. And he does that in part through baptized people like you and me. Look at the outpouring from Christians of aid to help out the people in Haiti. Look how many people have volunteered to go over there and to help, even sometimes at the risk of their own lives. Jesus says to us, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me. There's our Lord at work. He is at work. He is right here with his people, yes, in his word and sacrament, but how does he reach those people in Haiti? Through the hands and the feet and the giving of people like us. Why does God allow this sort of suffering in the world? Well, I can think of a few reasons. I'm not sure which one or ones God is using in this case, but I suspect in some ways he's using all of them. He teaches us to trust in him whenever we go through the worst tragedies, we realize we're not in control, and we're reminded to turn to the one who is in control. We become an example for others. I already talked about the Haitians who've responded in faith and have expressed that faith as a great confession before the world, and others see that. They also see our response of faith, and that's an invitation for others to trust this gracious God. This is a reminder not for us not to get caught up in the things of this world, because this world isn't going to be around much longer. And it teaches us to look forward to heaven instead of getting caught up in this dying world. But it's also an invitation for us to care so that others, like the people in Haiti, can see God's care through the people of God as we reach out to them. And in the midst of it all, he looks back to all of his people, whether they're in Haiti or in the United States or anywhere else in this world, and says, you're baptized. You belong to me. I bought you with my blood on the cross.
Kathy's listening in St. Charles, Missouri. Kathy, thanks for waiting on the line.
Yes, thank you. I do sometimes struggle with why question. And then I just am resolved to know that he loves me. I look at the cross and don't look at my circumstances to know that he loves me. And as you know, Todd, I have a son with special needs. I don't know if your guest would know this, but he had an arterial septal defect, which was a seven millimeter size hole in between the two upper chambers of his heart. That size hole always requires surgery. And they went to do an echo a second time, and the hole was gone. It was healed. But my son, as Todd knows, continued not only to have health problems that were very severe that couldn't be solved with surgery, but also developed autism. So he has Down syndrome, autism, and many other health problems. And we didn't get a lot of help from, at least with care, from the church. And now he's in the care of the state because of our issues with his 24-hour line-of-sight care. But I do know that God promises, even when we feel like we're alone, he will never leave us or forsake us, even though we feel others may have.
Pastor Kazeman, your thoughts on Kathy's call. Thanks, Kathy.
Kathy's exactly right. We're sinners, and we do let each other down. We sometimes fail to be the hands and heart of Christ reaching out to people in need. And sometimes it's easier for us to reach out to people in need in Haiti and overflow than it is, because then we just open up our checkbook, write out a check, and say, well, I've done my part. And sometimes it's easier to do that than to care, to show Christ's care to the people right next to us and around us. And so that ought to call us to repentance and to cling to Christ evermore. But she is exactly right that even when we fail each other, our Lord does not fail us. I will never leave you or forsake you. And not everything in the response in Haiti has gone smoothly. We have failed the people there in the midst of many great successes. But there again is where we lean on our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're reminded that, you know what, this is a world filled with sin. We need to be looking beyond this world because, well, Jesus says in Mark 13, earthquakes are one sign that this world's near to an end. This world's falling apart. This world's passing away. And all of us who have suffered in this world, which is all of us, say, good riddance. Bring in that new heaven and that new earth. Then I don't have to worry about earthquakes or terrorists or hurricanes or tsunamis or Down syndrome or autism or the things that are hurting in my life. And I think there's one more place where we say, there's where our Lord is. Not only is he reigning on his throne with the big picture working in ways we can't possibly see, not only is he right here with his people walking us through and saying, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you, and my resurrection power is going to get you through, but he's also in heaven preparing a place for us. And people say, well, how come he didn't do something about the destruction caused by all that earthquake? Well, God did do something about it. He came down to this earth as a human. He dropped dead on the holy cross. He took into his body all the death and the destruction that we should have experienced so that we get heaven instead of what we deserve, hell. What a gracious God. And how then, if we see it in the right perspective of us as sinners and God in his grace, we can't stand back and go, well, God's abandoning his people. We have to see just the opposite in the midst of this. Look at God's care for his people in the midst of suffering that we ought to all be suffering right now and that we all deserve.
With only about 30 seconds to respond, Don in Junction City, Kansas asks, a question for the atheist. If God does not exist, then there is no good or evil. How does the atheist know that an event is evil if there is no moral law from God? Take God out of the picture. And there's no good or evil, just power. 30 seconds for your briefest response.
It doesn't need too much response because she's nailed it exactly. how do we know? Because there is a God there who's put this on our heart. Now, what God knows, what we can see in the cross is that God who sets up moral right and wrong, who shows us that there is good and bad, is also the God who has nail-scarred hands to guarantee a day when those tragedies are going to be forever ended, when there is a heaven waiting for us because he took our hell while he was hanging on that cross. We run everything back again to the Holy Cross and see, yes, even in the midst of this tragedy, God's going to work for good, and his love is seen for his people in the midst of tragedy.
Pastor Bruce Kaseman is pastor of Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois, author of an article titled, Where Was God? Read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Bruce, thank you very much.
My privilege.
When we come back, we're going to talk the subject that is on the minds of many today. Don't ask, don't tell, gays in the military, and the president's intent to overturn that law. We'll see what Tommy Sears of the Center for Military Readiness based in Washington, D.C. has to say after this.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup hole if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You are my soul. The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
An influential economist from MIT, John Gruber, has been making the rounds with the media. He's been talking up Barack Obama's health care reform bill, getting national media attention. But there's one important fact Mr. Gruber hasn't shared with journalists. It's been reported he even denied it. John Gruber's been on the payroll of the Obama administration since June to sell the plan, and he's making $400,000 for his trouble. Candidate Obama promised an open and transparent administration. Not only is the Gruber situation a scandal, there's been behind-closed-door dealings to cram this health care reform bill down the throats of Americans, and it contains a blank check to the abortion industry. We don't need these shady dealings, and we don't need Obamacare.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.